Hello and welcome to another episode of Pinot and Perfume. As always, I am your host, Sarah Chacon. Do you remember? Do you remember the time we fell in love? Do you remember the time I told you we should wait to give 2021 the credit it deserves after the hellacious year 2020 had been? I don't want to say I told you so, but I fucking told you so. Okay. Okay. Not drinking anything right now. Not drinking anything alcoholic, as my husband and I got into the liquor last night. So we're feeling, you know, I think I feel better than he does. He was hurting this morning. I paced myself because I knew when we started, I had had like a ginger beer and vodka. That might be called a Moscow Mule, but it wasn't the full Moscow Mule because I didn't put it in the little tin cup and I didn't put like lemon or lime with it. So I think it's lime. So anyway, it was like a very poor man's Moscow Mule. Started with those, a couple of those, and then I knew I didn't want to really do a lot of beer. We did end up going to a brewery and getting some beer, but anyway, long story short, I paced myself, and I got us pizza. We got home last night, so I'm like, we're gonna need some food to like stop all this shit up. I'm saying thank you to last night, Sarah. Today, Sarah's saying thank you because she doesn't feel that bad, but Tony's feeling pretty rough. So I'm drinking bubble water. Anyway, listen, not to beleaguer the point, but after the shit show at the Capitol this week, this is why my motto for 2021 was fucking wait and see. This is why, because some shit happened and I was like, there's no way that, you know, the stroke of midnight is going to erase all of the fuckery going on in the world, you know, from the clock over from 2020 to 2021. That I think I put too many 20s in that last number and probably sent us into like another millennium, but you know what I mean? That changeover wasn't going to magically change the fuckery going on in the world. And I was right. So let it be known to not just dive headfirst into optimism. As sad as that message is, let's just be cautiously optimistic moving forward. Okay. I don't really have much else to say. It's been a weird week for everybody involved. So I guess I could go into a little about what happened last night. Like I said, we went to a brewery. We, you know, pre-gamed at the house. We went to the VFW, which I have never, it was a wrestling event that the VFW put on here in my town. It's to raise money for veterans. I have never been to a VFW event, but let me tell you, the drinks are no fucking joke. And they're like, so we sat at the bar pretty much the whole night. And everybody there was super nice. Everybody was super sweet. the bartender was sweet. And so like I got a Captain and Coke and Tony got like the cheapest beer that they had. And the guy only charged us $5 for both of it. And so of course we tipped him very well and the drinks kept coming. And so I think honestly how much we were officially charged had to have been like 10 bucks. And that was like three drinks for me and like three drinks for Tony. Drinks that we didn't order. Like they would just sending us drinks too. So the VFW, I'm going to try and see if Tony wants to enroll, like join the VFW. I think it would be good for him. Because if they get down like that, like, hell yeah. And we don't have to get away, you know, we can get away with not paying $8 for a damn cocktail when we go out. Score. But yeah, no, it was interesting. It was just like wrestlers from all over Florida doing this event. It was a small event. They didn't pack the house, which was nice. And yeah, it was good. But yeah, like I said, we started pre-gaming at the house. Then we did go to a brewery until the event started. Was at the event for a little bit, which was in like the event and the brewery are like next door to each other. So then we went back to the brewery for like a top off, got home, ordered pizza, and pretty much passed out. after midnight. So yeah, it was a fun night. And yeah, I don't really have anything like witty or anything else funny to say. I don't even know how to make last night funny. Outside of saying like we got, you know, the drink specials at the VFW were on point. They were very fucking choice. And we also got to donate to a good cause, veterans. So that's how our fucking Saturdays went. And like I said, today we're just chilling. Tony's playing video games. I'm recording this. I've been switching back and forth between like the two pair of sweatpants that I own all week because it's been cold. We've got a cold snap here in Florida. Also have been eating like shit. So that's how I'm doing. Yeah, and I guess we can just get into some of the week and stop. I'm not gonna fill up like airtime just to make this segment last. So yeah, we're just gonna get into scent of the week. All right, so this week's scent of the week is none other than the infamous Baccarat Rouge 540. I am finally digging into my samples that I had ordered from Maison Francis Kurkdjian. If you don't know, that's the perfumer, the house behind this fragrance. I ordered some samples last year. I don't know, was it like August, July or August? Just now digging into them. I want to order more samples from different spots, but I've got quite a bit to dig through for this show. So my goal is to get through all of the samples that I currently have before I start ordering new ones. But anyway, that's what we're wearing today. This is a perfume. If you are part of the fragrance community or watched any sort of YouTube videos, I mean, there's multiple reviews on reviews of this fragrance. For complete transparency, I am wearing the Extrait de Parfum. The difference between, which I did not know this, so learning something together, the difference between the Eau de Parfum, which, you know, they also have that constant Baccarat, MFK also has the Eau de Parfum concentration. The difference between the EDP and the Extrait de Parfum, so two EDPs, as I guess the Extrait is the highest concentration of fragrance oils you can put on the market. For some reason, I thought it was like Eau de Toilette, Eau de Parfum, and then Parfum. I didn't know it was called like Extrait de Parfum. Maybe those are both one and the same, but yeah, now you know. So Eau de Parfum is very strong concentration anyway, but like the Extrait version is the highest concentration of fragrance you can get. So by that logic, it should be pretty strong, lasts a long time. Projection should be above average. So, for those of you who don't know, this perfume, let's see, let me look up the notes for you. So, I'm going off of Parfumo. The notes in the Extrait version are, oh wait, no, I'm looking at the Eau de Parfum. Okay. The Extrait de Parfum are Egyptian Jasinum Grand Florium, Saffron, Moroccan bitter almond, cedarwood, musk, and ambergris. Ambergris. The story behind it was that in the fall of 20, this is from Lucky Scent, this background. In the fall of 2014, the company Baccarat, which I guess is a Crystal Works company, very opulent. I guess they make, I don't know if they use Swarovski crystals, if they're, you know, I don't know. Anyway, they're a Crystal Works company. So fall 2014, that company Baccarat teamed up with Francis Kurkdjian to put a perfume out to celebrate their 250th anniversary. And that was called Rouge 540. So put out by Baccarat Rouge 540. And the world went friggin' nuts. And so now, it's like a mainstay of MFK's like fragrances. I guess they still have the partnership between Baccarat and Francis Kurkdjian. And so now Baccarat Rouge 540 is pretty much a household name. Now, the interesting thing I did see on Parfumo, which if you haven't downloaded the Parfumo app, I strongly encourage you to, because it's got the largest database, probably outside of FragranceNet, of perfumes that I've seen, and they have a great breakdown on like the scent pyramids, and usually it's very similar to what I find when I Google the perfume itself. Like it's, I haven't seen anything like, I haven't noticed a big discrepancy between like the notes listed for a certain perfume between this app and what I'm seeing online. So really good, handy app. But the original 14 was called Rouge 540. Again, it put out by Baccarat. So again, you have Baccarat Rouge 540. This is in a different decanter. This is the one that came out for the 250th anniversary. The interesting thing though, is the scent for the original one is the notes in that are blood orange, orange zest, citrus fruits, lavender, sage, ambergris, moss, aged wood and oak. Whereas now even the Eau de Parfum, you've got jasmine, saffron, cedarwood, ambergris. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the original Rouge 540 smelled completely different than what's on the market now. It's to me, just reading the notes, it sounded like it was a sweeter, fruity floral type of thing. And now it's kind of more of a woodsy, musky scent. So I thought that was pretty interesting to note. Now, let's get to what we're here for. On me, this is a scent that some people say that has been said that people can be anosmic to it. So you'll spray it and you might not be able to smell it all the time, but those around you will. I'm able to smell it, but I don't know if am I missing, like, I don't get the jasmine in it or whatever the Egyptian jasmine grand florium. I'm assuming that's a version of jasmine. I don't get jasmine at all. When I spray it, I get straight to the sandalwood, the bitter almond. It's like a bitter note on my skin, like a sour note. It goes away though. I get the sandalwood, the nuttiness, the ambergris, the musk. And I think that's what's making up that nutty, crackery scent that I'm getting. If you saw my first impressions of this, I mentioned I was getting like kind of a crackery, like a buttery cracker or a buttery nut type of smell with this. Also, side note, I also got a little of that with Burberry Her, which is also made by Francis Kurkdjian. And the only two similarities between Baccarat Rouge 540 and Burberry Her is that both have ambergris and musk in it. So I think that's the comment. I think that's what's giving me that crackery version. That's probably not a good description, but that's what it smells like to me. It's just a smooth, woody, buttery, slightly buttery, nutty fragrance on me and musky. To me, I will be honest. I mean, it's a nice scent. It's well blended. It's good quality. That doesn't take away from anything. To me, I'm underwhelmed by it. The hype that this was getting, I was expecting to spray it on me and just be like blown away. Like, oh my God. And so when I first sprayed it, I was like, it's nice, but it's not, you know, I'm not getting the tingles in my loins. And again, that's not a diss to Francis Kurkdjian. Like I said, I think the scent itself is nice and I like Francis Kurkdjian. I own Burberry Her and I think I love that fragrance. Like it's so good. I just was expecting a little bit more, I guess, with just all the hype. Now another fragrance that I did get the loin tingles from is Oud Satin Mood. I haven't given that a full wear test yet, but my first impression was like, oh man, I feel like, my perfume is tempting me, is seducing me. That's what I felt like when I smelled that. And I was like, oh boy, that smells so good. Again, didn't get that with Baccarat Rouge. So I'm just a little, I think it's nice. I just don't think that it is, you know, it's not for everybody, you know, and it's like other people friggin' love this perfume. They smell it and they're like, oh my God, I need this in my collection. I smelled it and I was like, It's nice, but I have other perfumes that I like better. That's just how it is. Now, in terms of longevity and projection, I would say, I mean, it is hard to kind of tell because, to me, I don't think that it projects that much, but I would say the simple bowl is maybe like an hour, and then altogether you could probably get, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. I mean, it does kind of sit closer to the skin on me, but even so, like I was getting whiffs of it throughout the day, like especially when I sprayed it on my chest, like I was getting whiffs, whereas on my arms and my wrists, that was turning into more of a skin scent as the day went, as I went throughout the day, but I could still smell it on my chest, projecting just a little bit. So, depending on where you spray it on yourself, this could last like all day. And again, like the scent bubble is pretty nice. Like I'd give it an hour. My husband has said I smelled good wearing this, so it's not a bad perfume at all. It doesn't excite me, doesn't excite me. Now, this perfume, like everybody and their mom is trying to dupe it. Like I have seen Ariana Grande Cloud as being a dupe for Baccarat Rouge 540. Christian Siriano came out with a perfume called Eau La Rouge, I think it was. And that has been said it's been a dupe for Baccarat Rouge 540. I even saw a YouTuber talk about Burberry Her being a dupe for Baccarat Rouge 540. Now she did say the dupe, he said the dry down smelled similar. Like I said, I own Burberry Her. So one day this week, I spritzed one side of my body with the Baccarat Rouge 540, the other with the Burberry Her, and two totally different fragrances. It's not a dupe, guys. Don't believe it. It's not a dupe. The Burberry Her is very fruity, but again, they have that kind of that woody, that musk and ambergris that kind of grounds it, just like in 540, but that's where the similarities end. I could say this is kind of a stretch, but you know what? Not too bad. I could say that if anything, I could see Burberry Her being a flanker of Baccarat Rouge 540. They still don't smell identical, but there's still that same type of, not full DNA, but again, the same like musk and amber that I get in each are very, very similar. And I think it's kind of like you can tell that both are made, like if you're familiar with a certain perfumer, you kind of can see their touch in their perfumes. Like they can be different perfumes, but you know they're done by the same person, So if they were to repackage Burberry Her and like named it Baccarat Rouge, Framboise, or some, whatever shit they give flanker names these days, I think people would buy it. I would buy it. I wouldn't know the difference. I would be like, yeah, this sounds like it could be part of this Rouge line. Not a dupe, but I could see it maybe being a flanker. But I think people are just trying to find dupes because this is insanely expensive. Now, the extrait version, a 70 ml bottle, is going to run you $425. A 200 ml bottle is going to run you $825. And then your travel set, it's three 11 ml sprays. That's going to run you $295. That's the extrait. Let's see what the EDP is. See the Eau de Parfum. I mean, it's still expensive too. the Baccarat Rouge, the Eau de Parfum, a 70 ml is going to run you $300, and the 200 ml is going to run you $575. And then that same travel set, the three 11 ml sprays, that's going to run you $180. So still, quote unquote, cheaper, but this is not an inexpensive perfume by any means. So, if you have the coin and you like it, then by all means get it. But this is, I think that's why people are trying to find so many dupes for it, is because this is a very insanely expensive perfume. Based on my experience, take this for what it's worth. I would say, I don't even, I'm not even gonna give this as a thing. So, I was gonna say, nothing compares to the original, and it doesn't. Like, if you like a perfume so bad, try to find a way to own it, because nothing, even from clone houses, nothing can compare to the original. But you know what? they do get pretty damn close. So, and that's what I'm kind of doing. Like I said, I'm still kind of on a fragrance no buy. But if I do, after doing the wear test on Oud Satin Mood, I will be looking at samples from clone houses. I know Dua has a clone of Oud Satin Mood. Fragrinza has a clone of Oud Satin Mood. I will be looking at those. I have a Dua perfume that's a dupe for Lost Cherry. It's called Pop Cherry. And I actually compared the two on this show, and they were pretty damn close. Now, excuse me, I think Lost Cherry is a little bit smoother. But Pop Cherry, especially if you cannot afford Lost Cherry, that's Tom Ford scent, Pop Cherry is pretty close. I'm like, I'm happy. I don't think I'm missing out by not owning Lost Cherry. I actually prefer Pop Cherry a little bit over Lost Cherry because Lost Cherry is beautiful, but the performance just isn't there. And to me, on me, the cherry, I got like a hint of the cherry and then it went away. Whereas on Popped Cherry, that shit lasts all day and it projects like a beast. So I prefer that over Lost Cherry. Like, I don't think I'm quite happy with Pop Cherry. I don't think that I'm losing anything by not owning Lost Cherry. So I think I would say don't go for a dupe. Like, don't go for Burberry Her thinking it's a dupe or Ariana Grande Cloud thinking it's a dupe. I think if you cannot afford this perfume, Baccarat Rouge 540, then sample a clone house, because they can, I mean, I know people feel some type of way about clone houses. They can get pretty damn close to the original. It's not going to be the same, but if you're a consumer like me, who's, you know, you're not an industry professional, you're not a nose yourself, like, you just want to smell good and you like how one fragrance smells and you just want to have that scent and you don't really care. I mean, you would prefer to have the original, but the wallet can't afford it. So you're perfectly happy settling with a clone house. Like, clone houses have come a long way, I think, than, you know, when you used to go into Walmart and you would get like smells like CK1, you know, like those type of clones that you would see. Clone houses have come a long, long way. So, and I think in this case, it's a way to own a fragrance that's luxurious and that's expensive, but it doesn't break the bank. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence because I do think that there is something to owning the original, because nothing will ever smell 100% like the original, but I don't know. Clone houses can come pretty quickly. I don't even know what my point is. Because like I said, I'm going to try and find probably a clone of Oud Satin Mood, but this is expensive. If you can afford it, great. If you can't, look into a clone house. I would go with a clone house over like another perfume that's allegedly a dupe, because there's so many, and I don't think that they're not going to be an exact dupe like a clone house would provide. So if you're looking for an exact dupe, go the clone house route. If you wanted to treat yourself and buy the actual perfume, you've budgeted for, you know, that's great. Who am I to tell you not to? Jelly, but that's awesome too. I am rambling, guys. Jesus Christ. But yeah, so bottom line for me, I would probably not buy this perfume, either a clone or the original. A, because it's expensive, and B, because it's nice, but it doesn't, I don't get excited when I smell this fragrance. I just think it's a nice fragrance. It doesn't light a fire in my heart like other fragrances that I have smelled do. Like, even now, I've owned Tom Ford's Black Orchid for a couple of years, and I still get super excited whenever I spray that on me, and I'm still like, oh my God, yes, I love it. I don't see this happening with Baccarat Rouge. Like, this smells bougie, this smells classy, this smells like you have money, and if you like those, then definitely get a sample and explore this perfume. But for me, it was just meh. I hate saying that because I don't want it to come off like I don't think the scent is worth your time. Like I said, I think it's a well-blended scent. It's a lovely scent. It's just not, it hits people differently, and it just didn't make a big impression on me. So I will say, I do think this is unisex. At least, like, I don't get any florals from this. I just get the sandalwood and musk and amber and the nuttiness from the almond. So I definitely think a man could pull this off as well as a woman. So definitely if you're a dude and you don't, you know, don't lead Baccarat Rouge 540, the Rouge, whatever, I don't know. Don't let it deter you, because a lot of women, you know, you see a lot of women reviewers review this, but a guy could also pull this off. So I would say this is good for both guys and gals. For me, it didn't do much. And I would say longevity and projection are about average. They're pretty good. I think this could get you through a day at work. If you wanted to go out that night, maybe a touch-up. You probably don't need a full reapplication, but maybe a little bit of a touch-up. Yeah. And that's that. Baccarat Rouge 540. It was good, but it didn't blow me away. Okay, so fragrance in the news. We just got some light ones for you today and an exciting release. I'll say that one for last. So first up, I thought I would bring, if you're not aware, I have another podcast that I do with my friend Jenna. It's an Emily in Paris recap podcast called Savoir Shade. So I thought I would bring both worlds together in this one. And this is from the Zoe Report, and it talks about Lily Collins's beauty routine. She is in Emily in Paris, and it includes a perfume, and they kind of go into it. And it's, when I read what it was, I wasn't surprised. So apparently Lily Collins really loves Lavia Bell from Lancome. And that is, if you've ever seen any of the ads with Julia Roberts, or even seen the bottle itself, it is definitely Parisian. Like, Julia Roberts is running through Paris with the ball gown. They always show, like, the Eiffel Tower in the background. The bottle itself has, like, a little necktie on it. It's a little silver ribbon that looks like a little Parisian necktie. It's super cute. It's sweet. It's got patchouli and gourmand. Well, it's got patchouli and it's a gourmand. It's powdery. It's sweet. I think it's like one of the best selling fragrances in the world, for a good reason. It's mass pleasing. And she says that how she spritzes it is she puts it on her neck, wrists, and over her head and lets it fall all over her and imagine that she's back there because she misses Paris. And this perfume reminds her of Paris. So I thought that was just kind of some sweet little thing. I'll link to this in the show notes. I mean, all of these articles will be linked to it in the show notes. It talks about her makeup and routine and shit and skincare, which I'm not going to get into because this is not a makeup and skincare podcast. But if you're interested, the link will be in the show notes. I just thought that was super sweet. And this is an older article. This was on December 30th, but apparently through New Year's Eve, Lavia Bell was 20% off at Macy's. So it went from $74 to $59.20. And speaking of Lavia Bell, around Christmas time, I'm in Kohl's. I never think of Kohl's, unless I have to return something for Amazon. But Kohl's had a Lavia Bell, several Lavia Bell gift sets. And it was like the full bottle. I don't know the milliliters, but it was like a full-ass bottle with, like, I think body lotion and some shit in it. And it was like 100, I think it said it was like 100 something value. I don't know how much it was. I couldn't find a price tag, but I'm assuming it was like maybe $100, $105. Whatever it was a steal if you like that fragrance. So definitely keep Kohl's in the back of your head and just pop in once in a while and just look at what they have because it might surprise you. So our next article we have is from the Dothan Eagle, Dothan, Alabama. And this is about a perfume that Brian May, if you don't know, he is with the rock band Queen. Yes, we will rock you. We are the champions, all of that. He's in that band. And I guess he's really into wildlife protection, particularly badger protection. And yes, I'm trying not to laugh because I'm a 10-year-old boy. And of course, I'm saying badger and I'm thinking of a woman's vagina. The animal, if you're like me, not a woman's vagina, but he partnered up with a perfumer from Zerzhov. So Zerzhov is a bougie-ass perfumer. I guess the main perfumer there is Sergio Momo. So he partnered up with Sergio, and they created a perfume called Save Me, where money raised from the sale of every bottle will go to the Save Me Trust, which Brian May launched to protect welfare and the dignity of wild animals. Now, the notes that are in this, it's according to this article, is a hint of clean badger fur, some sandalwood, and something a bit limey. That's all the details we get. They don't link it. I don't think this is out because this article is dated on the 8th. So I think this is brand new, hot off the presses. I don't even think it's been released yet. So, yeah. So of course, Brian May is like, this smells amazing. It's called Save Me. It's after the Queen song, but yeah, it's also going to go to saving the animals. So, be on the lookout for that. And last but not least, the one that I'm super excited about. So again, the Parfumo app, when you first open it up, then it always goes to like the new and notables. So like upcoming releases. And I noticed there's a lot of interesting upcoming releases, most notably La Belle. So I have reviewed La Belle on this show. If you watch any, like, a lot of YouTuber reviews, they hype up La Belle. And this is one of the perfumes to me that lived up to the hype because it's so good. It's from Jean-Paul Gaultier. The only advertised notes are like pear, vanilla, and vetiver, or bergamot, depending on where you look. Parfumo says bergamot, other places say vetiver. But apparently they are launching a version, a flanker of La Belle with vanilla, pear, and tonka beans. Yeah. So instead of vetiver or bergamot, it's tonka bean. So I couldn't find much on Parfumo. Like, they don't have a lot yet. So I don't even think this has been out yet. It is released at some point this year, and we're only, what, 10 days into the new year. So I don't know if this has come out yet. The bottle looks gorgeous. It's like an ombre glass bottle. Looks like the regular La Belle. So it's like the bust of the woman with the gold rose glasses, gold rose necklace. But this bottle is ombre. It starts black and ends with like a really deep rosy pink. But I found a full subscription from, it's a Facebook page called Eye Fragrance. And they had a post on it yesterday at 1:40 p.m. And so it's called La Belle Le Parfum Eau de Parfum Intense by Jean-Paul Gaultier. It's an oriental gourmand fragrance for women launched this year under the La Belle collection. So I'm just going to read the description directly from this post. La Belle et Parfum, the new intensity of Jean-Paul Gaultier's original wife. In the garden of Gaultier, where all sins are permitted, the new original woman, La Belle et Parfum, intensifies the seduction of her addictive sensuality. Forbidden fruits with dark red curves for more intensity with a femininity paired with a floral wreath of golden roses. Its intense eau de parfum intoxicates under the brilliant sun of this vegetation. Side note, I'm pretty sure this is a translation from something, so that's why it sounds a little bit weird. An oriental gourmand scent trail of green pear, notes of jasmine, and vanilla. Given to the seduction of La Belle Le Parfum by Jean-Paul Gaultier. A bottle called Desire. From red to black, the original femininity of La Belle Le Parfum soars in intensity with these gradient colors on her perfect lines. An ultra-sensual look adorned with a necklace of golden roses, which shifts the seduction to her neck. Sensual, intense, addictive. Perfume notes. Top, pear. Middle, vanilla. Base, tonka beans. So, I don't know. As someone who loves the original La Belle, I'm not a big flanker person. Having said that, like, there are some that I do enjoy. For instance, I love Shalimar Soufflé EDP. That is a flanker of the original Shalimar, which I do not own. But now with that, there's been flankers of even the Soufflé, and I own several of those. But to me, it kind of reinforces my love for the original. Like, once I use up my flankers, I have the Soufflé de Lumière, which it smells like the original Soufflé EDP, but also has like a base of white musk, which is really nice, especially during the summer. It lightens up this fragrance. And then I have the Soufflé Intense, which I wear during the fall and winter, which is just a more vanilla forward version of the Soufflé, which I like those, but I don't like them nearly as much as I do the original Soufflé EDP. So I say that to say I'm not a flanker collector. Like some people, they'll love a scent and they want to collect all the flankers. That's not me. I love the original. I don't know, but I would be interested in smelling this just to see, because I do love Labelle. So I don't know when this is going to be released in the US. I don't know if it's already been released in Europe. I don't know, but I would be interested in sampling this. So that was my exciting new release. There's a bunch of new releases according to the Parfumo app. So Labelle caught my eye, but Dolce Rose, that's part of the Dolce Garden line, that's coming out. La Nuit Trésor Dentelle des Roses is coming out. Delina La Rosée, so that's from Parfums de Marly. Delina Exclusif, also two fragrances that get a lot of hype on YouTube and in the fragrance community. I guess they're coming out with a more rose forward version this year. Zerjoff is coming up with, oh, Save Me. That's the one I just talked about in the last one. That's being released. Let me see if they have a full scent profile. They do. Okay. So, assuming that this is the same perfume that Brian May is releasing, these are the notes. Doesn't mention anything about Badger, but maybe one of these other, maybe Cyclamen is Badger. I don't know. So, in the top note, you have pink pepper, jasmine, cyclamen, and chamomile. The middle notes, you've got tuberose, mimosa, ylang ylang, and gardenia. And on the bottom, you've got sandalwood and musk. So, that article didn't really do this fragrance justice because it sounds really, really pretty. So, you got that coming out. You've got something from Guerlain called Xeon. XI apostrophe AN. That's coming out. There's a lot of new ones coming out, and I'm here for it. Oud Pashmina from Montal coming out. Michael Kors is coming out with a perfume called Gorgeous. The scent Pure Accord for her and for him from Hugo Boss. Looks like flankers of the scent coming out. Olympia Blossom is coming out. Mon Guerlain Sparkling Bouquet is coming out. Damn, everybody's just coming out in 2021. Damn. Valentino Yomo Born in Roma, Yellow Dream. Valentino Donna Born in Roma, Yellow Dream. Those are coming out. Anything else that looks good? Gucci Guilty Love Edition. MMXXI. I think that's like 2000 something. I don't know. Daisy Loves Spring, Le Petite Robe Noir, Eau Parfum Nectar is coming out. Oh, man, a lot of Coffee Addict. This is from Theodoros Kalotinis. I've never heard of this brand before, but apparently it's like a coffee thing. It's about Black Opium Zebra, which that looks just like it's probably black opium in a zebra bottle. Let's click on it. Yeah, it's a new limited perfume in a collector's bottle. Ooh, it looks pretty though. Let's see. And it doesn't list the scent. It's so new. Yeah, guys, this is not turning into an ad for freaking Parfumo app, but definitely download this app. It's free and it's really, really interesting to see what's coming out. My Happy from Clinique, it's Baby Bouquet. Oh, it's going to have some powder shit in it. My Happy Cookies and Kisses. My Happy Indigo Mist. Vanille Reeve from Chiellini. Never heard of that, but it looks similar. Packaging looks similar to a Chanel bottle. Minuet Demi from Fragrance Dubois. That came out. If you don't know what that one is, Demi Rawling, she is a fragrance influencer, a fragrance reviewer on YouTube. Probably one of like the largest ones. Next to like Jeremy Fragrance. And she partnered with Fragrance Dubois to collab on a fragrance that's gourmand. These notes, top notes, you got bergamot, cardamom, pimento. Middle notes, you got coffee and caramel. Bottom notes, you got vetiver, cedarwood, cashmere, and vanilla musk, tobacco, bourbon. That sounds really pretty. I know she was having pre-orders for it. She said she wanted to make it quote unquote affordable. And she priced the ball at 250 euros. Not affordable, but I also understand that she partnered with a luxury brand in the first place, so it's not going to be cheap. Anyway, that kind of went off on a tangent. Parfumo app, it's super interesting. So download it. Well, I was all set to hit publish and forgot I did not even record an outro. So here it is. Thanks for listening. I know this was kind of a weird episode today, so apologies all around. But if you stuck with me this far, thank you so much. As always, if you want to connect with me online, the best way to do that is on Instagram. I'm at Pinot and Perfume there. If you are on Peloton, you either have a bike or you use the app with maybe an off-brand bike like myself, hashtag balling on a budget. You can work out with me if you want or just follow me. That's hashtag Pinot and Perfume there. You can email me. I'm sarah.chacon784@gmail.com. And if the spirit moves you and you want to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or leave a 5-star review, I'm not going to stand in your way. I think that helps, the show to be to be recommended to more people, I think. Also, as I mentioned before, I have another podcast with my friend Jenna called Savoir Shade. We recap and roast Emily in Paris. We are going to record the season one's finale, recapping that one today. So that should be up later on today. In the meantime, you can binge all of our other episodes. We've got episodes from, 1 through 9 recapped, plus a special Christmas episode that we recapped. It's not Emily in Paris. It's we recapped a shitty Christmas movie called Christmas in the Smokies. So if you want some laughs there, you can do that. That is also on Anchor. I believe it's also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts there. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. I hope that despite everything going on in the world, you managed to get some joy, that even if it's just smelling your favorite fragrance, bring some joy into your life. I hope that whatever you're doing, you are having fun, being safe, but most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye. Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.